Can't pay the IRS? Haven't filed in a while? Receiving threatening letters? Yeah, it's about to get worse. The IRS is hiring an army of agents targeting hardworking Americans like you. You need warriors on your side. You need Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA has brilliant strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. For instance, they've discovered a limited-time special offer that the IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Never call the IRS alone. Let Tax Network USA attorneys handle it. They have preferred direct lines to the IRS. They know which agents to work with and which to avoid. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts and offer a best-in-class guarantee. Schedule your free consultation now. Call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/Victor. TNUSA.com/Victor. Hello, gentlemen. This is the Victor Davis Hanson Show. I'm Jack Fowler, the host, the star, and namesake is Victor Davis Hanson, VDH. He is the Martin and Ely Anderson Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution and the Wayne and Marsha Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. If you're on the internet, go look for The Blade of Perseus. The web address is victorhanson.com. That's Victor's official website. And we'll talk more later towards the end of the podcast why you should be subscribing. We are recording, Victor, on that infamous day between the Ides of March and St. Patrick's Day. It's Saturday, the 16th of March. This particular episode should be up on Tuesday, the 19th. We are in the immediate aftermath of the Fannie Willis judicial decision that the judge rendered down in Georgia. Pick one, Fannie, you go or your lover boy go. And Victor, we'll get your thoughts on that, on West Point altering its motto, maybe a little on college sports, and maybe a little about, are we going to see a summer of madness in America? All that right after these important messages.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We are back. So, Victor, first I want to apologize in advance. Our listeners may hear my dogs in the background today. Nothing can be done about it, but that's a little at home. Homebred authenticity to this particular show that we do. Maybe your dogs will be in the background too, Victor. I don't know. On your end. Victor, big news coming from yesterday, and we're recording on Saturday the 16th. This episode is up on the 19th, but yesterday, on the Ides of March, the 15th, Judge Scott McAfee, Superior Court Judge down in Georgia, rendered his verdict on the Fannie Willis case, and he had some very harsh things to say about the Fulton County District Attorney and her romance with Nathan Wade, but the one of the things he ordered was either you're down, Fanny, or Nathan's out. And Nathan Wade is out. Victor, Fannie Willis lives to continue to prosecute Donald Trump in this one of the many cases of lawfare against the former president. Your thoughts, Victor, on Judge McAfee's ruling?
Well, he cut off the tail and left the head of the snake. Nathan Wade didn't do one thing that Fannie Willis did not tell him to do. You got to remember, this was all cooked up by her. She hired her paramour, married paramour, before and was involved with him. And then she appointed him to a job that he had no qualification, never tried a felony, never a criminal case, and put him in charge as the head prosecutor of a very complex bootstrapped racketeering charge, which he was completely unable to really understand or prosecute. And then they had this relationship. She's admitted, and he's admitted, that they did not have this relationship. That is under oath. Two witnesses have come forward and said that is an abject lie, and that they were aware that both by visual and by assertions from Nathan Wade himself. They brought in another person, Terrence Bradley, associate of Nathan Wade. He was the famous guy when they asked him, did they have a relationship before he was appointed, as you said in a text to a lawyer? He just went blank for about a minute. And then he said, no, which was pretty clear he was lying. And then there was the telephone evidence that when they said they were not together in a condo, there was, you know, dozens of phone pings where they were together all day, all night. There was the, what is it, 10,000 text. They were doing six texts an hour. I think it was an hour every for the last 2 or 3 years. So she was a liar and he was the accomplice. And then they got together and made their stories. So she should have been the first person to relieved off the case. And then there should have been a criminal referral by someone in her office that she could committed perjury under oath. And there was nothing. And a very embarrassing sign of projection, the judge, do you remember, Jack, he said, and I just want to say that if there's rumors about that this upcoming election is going to affect me, I wrote this rough draft first.
Right.
And I'm thinking, yeah, but is the rough draft the final draft? No. So it was really embarrassing, and it was sort of a pattern here where these grandees, they always say something like, guilty, but not guilty. In other words, because I'm not going to charge Fannie Willis or take her off the case, I'm going to really get mean in my editorialization. Hey, Miss Lab, this was on good. This is not good. This is that. Shut the blank up, Judge. We don't want to hear your editorialization. We just want to know one thing. Did she perjure herself, in your opinion? And if she did, is she going to face consequences? And for you to say that she likely perjured herself, but she's not going to face consequences, is a travesty. And it's something that is now endemic, these two standards of justice. Robert Hur, as I told Sammy, I was driving 4 hours to work. That was the most pathetic testimony. I mean, he's polished. He knows everything. But he basically came right out and said, A, Joe Biden may have had these classified files going back to his Senate career, 50 years, perhaps. He put them not one, not two, not three, in nine different locations. They were sloppy, as his photographs suggested, boxed, dilapidated. He admitted that he knew the files were classified and therefore unlawfully in his possession in 2017 when he remarked such to a ghostwriter. He admitted that the ghostwriter broke the law when these tapes of that admission were requested. The ghostwriter did what? He erased evidence. And they had to recover Joe Biden's confession through forensics. And then he admitted as well that Joe Biden was using these tapes for two purposes. One, to enhance his political career and wants to enhance an $8 million book deal of his memoirs. Okay, after giving all of that damning evidence, which is more damning than anything Jack Smith is going to get on Donald Trump, because Donald Trump had one location for 2 years, not 50, and he had presidential authority in theory to declassify them. And we're going after Trump aides. And did Herr go after the ghostwriter who destroyed subpoenaed evidence? No, he didn't, Jack. You know what he said? Well, I was afraid they were going to be hacked, so I did you a favor and erased them. Oh, yeah. Try that in any of you people who are indicted. Try that and see how far that gets you with a federal attorney. So, in other words, he did exactly what the judge did. He let them go, even though there was criminal activity, these targets, these defendants. And then they give a bone. But... we couldn't, because a jury would think that he's non compos mentis. He's a nice, bumbling old man with no memory. And that was what the Democrats wanted. So what they did for 4 hours was seize. How dare you say the president of the United States, you're a partisan. And then what they were really saying is, thank you, Mr. Herr. We can deal with your editorialization about the president, but what we can't deal with is an indictment of Joe Biden. In other words, Herr was also playing that game. He was thinking, he put his finger in the wind and he thought, am I going to get more flack from saying the president of the United States is debilitated to the point that he couldn't remember anything? Or am I going to get more flack from indicting him as he should be indicted? And he just decided that he would throw a bone. By the way, there was a couple of articles in there that have come out this week about that. And I went back and looked at that testimony that Herr had with Biden. And the person's argument was that he had a demented, as some people with Alzheimer's do, absorption with sex. And he said some very bizarre things, Jack. He said, I hope you don't find a picture of Jill in a bikini. She's really a good-looking woman. And did I tell you that when I was a lawyer, I defended a guy whose penis was cut off? It was weird. And it just gets back to that theme, that trope we've talked about, these Bidens, whether it's Joe swimming in nude in front of a female Secret Service agent, or his daughter saying that they took showers together a little bit too long for a teenage girl
showering with daddy. I'm sick.
And then we had Frank Biden with the full frontal nude selfies that showed up, I guess, in a gay porn site. And then we had Hunter taking pictures of his phallus. And then we had, of course, the hair sniffing and blowing. That family's got something wrong with him. I don't know what it is. But the other thing is, this is a pattern now. I think everybody is sick of it. With Hillary, it was the James Comey. Remember? Well, she did transmit classified documents over a home cook server, and that was illegal. And she seems to have broken communication devices, the hard drives, and we can't find these emails. They're destroyed. However, I don't think a jury was willing to convict a leading presidential candidate. Guilty, but not guilty. Reminds me of 2011, James Clapper, Director of National Intelligence, before Congress, under oath. Do we have any collateral damage? Do we kill civilians? Director Clapper on the Pakistan border when we use these drones?
No, there's not one.
Oh, sorry, I was lying there when they found out. You found out that I was lying, but I gave you the least truthful answer. Was he sacked? No. He got a very lucrative cable TV analysis position.
Right.
And then we had John Brennan when he was the national national security consultant to Obama, not the national security director, but Homeland Security advisor to Obama. And they said to him, do you have any knowledge? Excuse me. They asked Clapper, was there any drone assassination? He said none. I think they asked Brennan, I think, Clapper lied when he said the NSA had never spied on anybody. So Clapper lied and said it hadn't lied on anybody. They didn't do anything. He retired. He got into the Russian collusion hoax, got a nice big fat consultantship. Then Brennan came in 2 years later, and he lied about the targeted assassinations on the Pakistani border. But the worst, Jack, was when he said in 2013 he had been promoted to the CIA directorship after he lied. And he was asked if the CIA spied on staff computers of senators. And he said no. And then he apologized. Then we had Andrew McCabe. Remember him, the interim FBI director? If you read the Inspector General's report, it says that on four times he was asked flat out, are you the source of leaks about these collusion matters? No, absolutely not. Of course not. Did anybody? Bill Barr didn't do anything to him. He lied four times.
Right.
And so now we get to the, you know, we're getting to the Bidens. And Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, we know, did not pay taxes. And what did they do? They slow walked that until a judge caught him. But even when the judge caught the slow walking of Hunter's prosecution, the statute of limitations had expired. So he's not going to face the full array of crimes that he committed. And of course, Joe Biden got off, as I mentioned at the first. So what is behind all this? And it's really, the message is, prosecutors who investigate elites, mostly left-wing elites, or people working for the left, try to salvage their reputations by editorializing they did things terribly wrong, and then they let them off scot-free. And we saw that in the Fannie Willis case.
Right.
And that is destroyed the confidence in the American legal system.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to say that to Donald Trump. Nobody's going to say, well, of course you moved stuff around. And of course you admitted to such 6 years ago. But you know what? We don't indict ex-presidents and the leading presidential candidate. Of course, Donald Trump, you lie. But we don't care if Clapper or Brennan or McCabe lies under oath. So we're not going to care. They don't do that. And that's why people are really, really not only furious, but they're sick. They're tired of it. They do not want another special counsel or another lawyer or prosecutor or federal attorney saying, we did an extensive investigation. We found out they were lying through the teeth. They perjured themselves, but they're not going to be indicted because no jury would want to indict them. They're too senile. They'd be too sympathetic. They're too important. And it's just, at this, all this comes, Jack, about Fannie Willis. At the same time, they're going after the January 6th people. They're up to 2,500 convictions. They're going to go after more of them now.
Yeah, there's a headline in the new edition of the Epoch Times. It says, after a pause, Jan 6 arrests are now sharply increasing. And so the subhead, the FBI is making arrests and the DOJ is filing charges at the quickest pace in 3 years, pushing the expected total up to 2,150 arrests by 2026.
Yeah, well, you know what they should do? They should just pass a law then, if this is what America is, they should just pass a law that waives the statute of limitations, as they did in New York for E. Jean Carroll to refile against Trump. But they should just say, we're going to go look at the 14,000 arrests, the vast majority let off by left-wing prosecutors in 2020 that were looting and burning and killing and assaulting. We're going to look at all of those, and we're going to go back and revisit them.
Right.
And that's the only thing they're going to understand. Oh, we're going to go look at the pro-Hamas demonstrators this year who swarmed the Capitol Rotunda and shut down business. Or right. Mr. FBI Director Ray, why don't you get a team and look at all the photographs, videos on the night of the State of the Union in which protesters swarmed and intentionally blocked the route of the President of the United States and delayed his address to the people of the United States for 26 minutes. Talk about obstruction of a government agency or a government act, and nothing. So it's right. Just two standards of justice. It's just sickening.
Well, Victor, other things that are sickening are coming out of West Point, and we'll get to that right after these important messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Before I raise this topic, Victor, I just want to take a moment for our sponsor, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. It can find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, and it can stop those threatening phone calls without bankruptcy and without a loan. The bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Do that first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com. And we thank Pivotal Debt Solutions for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, here's a headline from the college, well, not the headline, but first few two paragraphs of an article from the College Fix, great website. By the way, folks, you should check it out regularly. United States Military Academy has removed the words duty, honor, country from its mission statement, a move approved by Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth and Army Chief of Staff Randy George. The previous mission statement read, to educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets so that each graduate is a commissioned leader of character committed to the values of duty, honor, country, and prepared for a career of professional excellence and service to the nation as an officer in the United States Army. Victor, the new one reads, quote, to build, educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets to be commissioned leaders of character, committed to the Army values, I don't know what they are, and ready, maybe it's like getting a pot of gold at the end, and ready for a lifetime of professional excellence and service to the Army and nation. Victor, no more duty on our country.
What was wrong with it? What was wrong with it? Is it an act, I mean, of commission or omission? Do they think it wasn't full enough, the definition, or was it something in it, duty, honor, country? So let's go through it. So in this new Marxist paradigm, is duty pathological? Is that judgmental, racist, homophobic, nativist, tribal? I don't know. And honor, is honor an old-fashioned virtue? Who's to say you deserve honor? Or what did you do to get honor? And then country. You know, we're back to the poor kid, is it in southern in Indiana, that had a flag that he drove to school on his pickup, and they said he was insubordinate. Is it because you can't really honor your country because some recent people who came here don't like the country? You don't want to offend the squad? Is that it? I don't know. I had this ongoing argument with military officers of a high rank, and I'm afraid I'm not very well liked by them, but they keep telling me that the 40,000 person shortfall in the Army, Air Force, Marine, even the Marines now, is not because of PC, woke, etc. It's because of gangs and obesity and a tight job market. And I say it is either woke or it's the perception of woke. Because when you look at the fall off demographically, Latinos, Asians, African Americans, women, gay, they're all about on schedule. It's one demographic, white males. They're not joining. They almost completely explain. And part of it is they were demonized by Mr. Milley and Lloyd Austin when they said they were going to invest for white supremacy cabals. And then they didn't really publicize the results. They found nothing. And this is aimed, I think, at the traditional Army. And it's not going to win those people back. They were inordinately targeted for not getting vaccinations, even though many of them had natural immunity. And they drummed out 8,400 of them. And so I'm really worried about it because I don't think they're going to come back. And some of them have three or four generations in their family of noble service. And as I keep pounding away, they die at twice their numbers in the demographic in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, nobody ever says to them, you know, we want an America that looks like us. So, you know, you guys are in combat too much. We've noticed that you're hogging all the glory in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now you're dying at twice your numbers, but it's time to let other groups go in there and die with you. Nobody says that. Nobody wants to do that, apparently. I don't see the Army side. The Army, the Navy, the military, the Pentagon, they will go after every disproportionate, disparate impact rubric they can. Promotions, pilots, anything, colonels, majors, but they don't ever touch that subject. No.
Two things, Victor. One is the tight job market is kind of BS. I mean, I assume you do too, when you see these, the unemployment rate. Well, there's one rate the government says, but it does not account for all the many millions of people who've totally dropped out of the job market.
Yeah, just look. All you have to do is look at the labor participation rate. It's almost getting down to 62% or below.
Right. And you couple that with, you know, generation of war on boys, and you layer on top of that Milley hunting for white supremacists, et cetera. This is a natural, the dots are easily connected here. I don't know what your military buddies are thinking, but.
I don't know where we're going because we all know what's causing it. And it's this war on white males and they're reacting to it. It's white middle-class male. It's the deplorables. It's the irredeemables. It's Barack Obama's clingers. It's Joe Biden's dregs, Joe Biden's chumps. It's John McCain's crazies. They're just demonized. It's the East Palestine, Ohio people. Right. And when they look at what happened in Afghanistan, and that hurt as well. So I just don't think it's going to get better, not until there's a new leadership that says we're going to be racially blind, gender blind. We're not going to promote one group over another. We're going to be based entirely on merit. And the method that we will use to adjudicate recruitment, promotion, evaluation will be merit. And merit in the military means battlefield efficacy, the degree which you can motivate soldiers and make them get the job done. And we have not got the job done in a lot of places in the world lately. And, you know, it gets back to what Sammy and I were talking about. United Airlines can say all they want, but I wrote an article on Thursday where I outlined seven United-Boeing near misses, wheels falling off, sudden hydraulics failures, returning to the airport, taxiing off the runway into grassy pastures. And then I juxtapose it with her CEO saying that half of all pilots in X numbers of years are going to be diversity, equity, and inclusion candidates. And I have to assume that when you don't say merit only, you're going to have problems like that. I got a letter and said, you know, that's cause and effect. This is just a coincidence to have seven serious near misses or accident, almost accidents, or mission failures, or pilot error, or FAA error, or Boeing mechanics error. And then I filed it, and there was one, I don't know if you saw it, just yesterday, where a United Boeing panel fell off. Not a real fall off, so what? Attendant went into a 787, kind of pushed the wrong switch, and it made the pilot's seat went up a little bit and he hit the controls, and 50 people were injured. Things happen. Door comes off on Alaskan Airlines. That's no big deal. When we taxi in the terminal 99 times out of 100, big deal. Every once in a while, we're going to muss our hair up and get into a pasture. But, things happen. Gosh.
We forget a lot as a society, Victor. Like in New York, where I was born now, people forget about what crime had been like once upon a time. And I think we forget about just how far flight safety and has come over the years. We go back 40 years, the number of crashes and people died from airplane crashes in America was stark relative to today. But we're regressing. It's miraculous, I think, to get an aluminum tube and fly, but it takes a lot of expertise to do that. If we're backsliding on it, those ugly headlines are going to reappear again.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And you lose the confidence of people. If Boeing can't guarantee that you're going to be safe, or the FAA, it keeps bragging about it's going to look like America, but it can't guarantee that the air traffic controllers are not 99%, but 100%. Capable of directing all of these jets. And if you are United and in 10 days you have seven or eight of these incidents, which any one of them could have got a lot of people killed, then they always get angry about the messenger that gives the message, never the message.
Right.
No, this is, if you notice this little trope,
how dare the right say this? They're just trying to demonize people of color.
No. You ask people who are flying up, who are quote unquote people of color, and you say, would you like a pilot who has the 10 years experience and has never had any incident versus a younger pilot that has had some incidents, but he looks like you or she? I think they would. That would be a no brainer.
Yeah, bigly. Hey, Victor, there's a great, it's an important and interesting piece in today's Wall Street Journal about expectations of what might be coming to America and its streets this summer. And we're going to get your thoughts on that right after these important messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, first, I want to, before we get onto this journal piece, I want to mention a word, barbecue. I'm thinking I might actually start smelling some in my neighborhood here, even though it's not even spring yet as we're recording. Warm weather here in the Northeast. We didn't have that bad of a winter. But so the word is barbecue, and just hearing it makes many mouths water, mine included. You may have a low temperature, slow cooking smoker, egg, or a pellet barbecue, but in the middle of your busy week, who has that kind of time? You need a hot, fast, solar infrared gas grill. It heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even on cold winter nights. That heat locks in juices and flavor and grills food faster. In just a few minutes, your family will be sitting at the table enjoying delicious, better than restaurant quality grilled food, juicy steaks, moist chicken, tender fish, and healthy grilled veggies. Solaire is a multi-generational, veteran-owned business. Their portables, carts, and built-ins are all made in the USA from commercial-grade stainless steel, so they're built to last. Get your free guide, How to Choose the Right Infrared Grill, at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solair Infrared Gas Grills for fast, delicious grilled food every day. That's besthotgrill.com. Besthotgrill.com. And we thank Solair for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. So, Victor, and I apologize again if you can hear the dogs snoring in the background. Nothing I can do about it. Lance Morrow. Lance is up there a little bit. And I think he's an octogenarian, maybe even older than our president. He writes occasionally for the Wall Street Journal, occasionally for City Journal, the great quarterly publication put out by the Manhattan Institute, even once in a while for National Review. His son, James, people may know him. He's an American, but he's kind of like the conservative guy down in Australia. He interned at National Review once upon a time. Great guy. Anyway, Lance Morrow has a piece in Saturday, March 16th, Wall Street Journal. Will political hatred spill into the streets? And he talks, writes a lot about what happened in Chicago in 1968 and the tensions that one finds when we find it more increasingly difficult to find the words with which to use to counter our opponents. And here's how he concludes his piece. This year, and it's only March, the idiom of hatred, especially the invective directed at Mr. Trump and the equal and opposite invective fired back, has advanced to the brink of violence. The George Floyd summer, I'm afraid, was a foretaste of things to come. Victor, there's more. I'll leave it be. I recommend folks to find it and read it. But Victor, what are your thoughts about what we might be seeing in America in the months ahead on our streets?
Well, I'm kind of worried. I like Lance Morrow a lot, but I think that op-ed was a little bit on the one hand, or what we say in Greek, men day, on the other hand. If you go back, Jack, to the ad Hitlerium, reductio ad Hitlerium, the reduction to Hitler, which is who's doing that? Al Gore called George W. Bush a brown shirt.
Right.
And Garrison Keillor called him the same thing. People in Germany called George Bush Hitler. And then, of course, if you said anything like that about Barack Obama, you were just your persona non grata.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah, you were in big trouble. And the same thing had you done that with Bill Clinton. So then we had Donald Trump come on the scene, and nobody knew what he was going to do. 11 days into his tenure, Rosa Brooks wrote an article saying there's only three ways to get rid of him. You either got to get the 25th Amendment or you got to impeach him too slow. Therefore, let's have a military coup. Basically, we had two officers calling for a military coup right before the election. We had Admiral McRaven said he should be gone the sooner the better, i.e. before a scheduled election. So that was okay. And that it's always asymmetrical. And so, yes, let's not call people Nazis. Let's not try to exacerbate tensions. But it comes from the left. And the left's attitude is we are morally superior. We are for people. We are for equality. We are for inclusion. We are for equity. We are for diversity. And to advance those goals down the throat of a right-wing, retrograde, reactionary population, we have to do certain things. And so we have to muss up their hair a bit. If we call them Hitler, or we call Netanyahu a fascist, or we go after Jews in a library, that's okay. And then when the Republicans or the conservatives or something, you know what, we'll go out on January 6th and we'll do just what you guys did in May, June of 2020. Then it's insurrection. They had a coup. They tried to stop it. It's just so asymmetrical, you know, and it's like they tried to stop an election. Well, what were the Democrats doing in 2016 when we were flooded every night after the election with ads where these celebrities who were paid with DNC funding or PAC money were going on TV and saying, please, electors, please be faithless. Do not vote for the popular winner of the popular vote in your state. Be a renegade. Throw the election to Hillary. I mean, where was Fannie Willis when that happened? So it's always more one-sided. And what's going to happen? I think I know what's going to happen. I think as we go in to the spring and summer, Joe Biden, as I keep saying, is failing. And you saw what he did after he came down out of his perhaps amphetamine or Adderall or whatever you want to call it, State of the Union high. The next day he was dysfunctional, and he has been ever since. But he's not going to be able to get out on the campaign trail. And they're going to get angrier and angrier, especially when they see Latino voters. I was talking to a very wonderful, you would call him a Mexican-American painter. He has his own little painting business. He's really hardworking. And he just went on and on yesterday. The price of diesel fuel, Victor, do you realize it's almost $6 a gallon I have to pay? I do. Do you understand what paint costs now? And then I have to get my money back. I have to raise the price and people get angry at me. Do you understand that? You know what taxes are in California? I know. I kept saying to him. And so they have lost the Hispanic male vote. I don't know about the young people that are in college and indoctrinated. I don't know about the female Hispanic vote, but I bet you they lose the Latino vote by males over 20 who are actually working, not in school. I bet they lose them by 15 points. And I think they'll lose anywhere from 18 to 20% of the black vote, because I have a feeling 40 or 50% of black males are going to vote against him. And you correlate that with Joe Biden's inability to campaign. And when they see Donald Trump heading into May and June with 3, 4, 5 point leads, as he does now, it's going to get nasty. They're going to go get every silicon nickel and run. They're not like the Clinton people who run ads and try to outspend. They try to change the process of how we vote. That's what Mark Zuckerberg did, $419 million to absorb the work of registrars and key precincts. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to get a 90% mail-in ballot. They're already talking about ballots, sending them out. And it's going to be a nasty, nasty fight.
Yeah. Well, Victor, let's keep on that then, because I sent you a thing or two and both are voter analyses. One's from a guy, Nate Moore, Hispanic love for Trump is growing. But then another focus on this by Nate, the infamous Nate Silver, who has a piece titled Democrat Hemorrhaging Support with Voters of Color. He writes, the problems are particularly bad for Democrats among working class voters of color and younger ones. Many Black, Hispanic, and Asian American voters have long identified as moderate or conservative rather than liberal. And then he puts out a very elaborate chart of a crosstab study, approximately 11,000 plus people. And right now it has, this study has Trump 47, Biden 45. But if you look at some of the, where some of these population groups or demographics stood in 2020 versus now, in with Blacks, you said 18%. Well, that's exactly what he has here. The Trump has, it's 73, Biden among Black voters, doesn't break it down by race or age, 73, 18. But that's an increase for Republicans from polls for 28%.
And you know why that is, Jack? You know why?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's happening in the Black and Latino communities is exactly what happened in the white community. And class is starting for the first time in my life to trump race. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, here in the San Joaquin Valley, we still have the remnants of the Oklahoma diaspora. We have a lot of middle-class whites. These are not Palo Alto whites. These are not La Jolla whites. These are not Carmel whites. They're working-class whites. Most of them are leaving the state. But their anger is not directed at Latinos who come in legally. They're angry about, as are Latinos, illegal immigration. They are furious about left-wing coastal elites. And the reason they're angry is twofold, that their agendas, whether it is raising the price of diesel fuel to $6, or whether it is banning natural gas stoves in new developments, or whether it is making small business have a gender-neutral restroom, or making you go to a college swim meet and there's a woman swimming in a man who's swimming in female sports, or whether it is crime and watching people get out repeatedly with, you know, not even slap on the wrist. And they look at those people, the Pelosi's, the late Dianne Feinstein, the Gavin Newsom's, the Barbara Boxers, the Kamala Harris's, but especially the white upper class. And they think, you know what? You are safe and you have a nice zip code and you have money and you have letters after your name and you make a ton of money and you think your kids will not be subject to school violence because they're in prep school. And you think your kids will always get into the colleges they want with a carefully placed phone call to a dean or a provost or a golfing buddy or somebody. But we don't have any of those protections. And what you are mandating and what you are exempt from falls on us. And we're sick and tired of it because you have destroyed our wages. You locked us down during COVID. You mandated all of these gender and race protocols that we have to abide by. And the cost of living is exorbitant, but it doesn't make much difference to you. You go to Whole Foods and when you buy eggs or milk or steak, you don't even look at the price. Right. It kills us. And that same phenomenon is happening with Blacks and Latinos because they look at the Black leadership and they look at the squad or the Latino leadership, Javier Becerra, all these people, they're in government and they're exactly like their white coastal counterparts. Right. They're completely out of touch. So when you look at the Black leadership, the Black caucus in Congress, it supports the Biden open borders. But right. That open borders is making people in inner city furious. And when you look like at the Latino caucus of the Democratic Party or the state legislator Latinos, they're for that too. They're for transgendered stuff. They're for radical abortion on demand. And all of their constituents who are working class aren't. And they think that these people are spoiled and they're out of touch, even though they're fellow Latinos. Right. And what's happening is they're starting to see what the white working class feels. The white working class feels, I don't care if Nancy Pelosi or Gavin Newsom is white and I'm white. I have zero in common with these people. All they're doing is feathering their own nest with their government associations. They get insider knowledge. They get exemptions. They always land on their feet, and they always make sure that we don't. And I think that same resentment is now boiling up, and you see it in Chicago, you see it in Baltimore, you see it in L.A., with blacks who say, you know what? These open borders do nothing for us, nothing. And the same thing with Latino community. What do we get out of that? And why are you doing this? And I think that's a lot of it right now. They're starting to say, you know what? The black and Latino elite have nothing in common with the black and Latino working class, especially males. And that's a radical development. But it happened to the Democratic Party in connection with whites about during the Bill Clinton era. Bill Clinton saw it happening. And that's why he gave all those speeches about closing the border and illegal immigration was wrong and 100,000 police officers and school uniforms. And then Obama blew it up. Obama blew up the white working class support for the Democratic Party. He just blew it up with his racial harangues and his elitism. And so I think it's a good development because if Donald Trump is careful, and maybe that's an oxymoron, but he can really craft a working class party that transcends racial differences. I think he's doing it.
Victor, also, I think the important point you're making is that this, we're looking at these numbers in a political presidential race setting, but what underlies this is a rejection of the Democratic Party more so than, I think, than an embracing of Donald Trump. This is we're sick of these people, okay? And here's a guy offering us an alternative. So I think it's more, to me, it seems more like a rejection that's behind this than it is we found a new leader in Trump. It doesn't mean they don't like Trump, but just to point out a couple of these things. Again, this is on Nate Silver's Substack. It's really intriguing. To put it in proper context, with Hispanics, Biden had an advantage in 2020 with Hispanics, a 24-point advantage over Trump. That is now 6%. So that this is where Republicans have picked up 18 points. The blacks, they picked up 28. Because Biden had an advantage in 2020 of 83%. Now it's down to 54%. So these are rejections of Joe Biden and the Democrat Party.
Yeah, he doesn't have a reservoir of goodwill with blacks, because maybe one of the results of his 5 or 6 year gradual dementia, that the real Joe Biden is coming out. The real Joe Biden was, they're going to put you all back in chains. The real Joe Biden is, hey, junkie, hey, you ain't black. Hey, Barack Obama's the first clean, articulate black. Hey, boy, that's Joe Biden. And hey, I gave the eulogy for James Eastland. I got along with Strom Thurmond. That is the Joe Biden. And they see that. And I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse on this matter of race, and they're going to get angrier and angrier and angrier, right. And they're going to be very, very desperate. And it's one of the biggest revolutionary movements, and it's really incumbent upon Donald Trump to campaign in 50 states. If you look at what's happening, he's starting to beat these crazy. I mean, he may be bankrupt, but I think he's going to get the Jean Carroll and the Letitia James reduced on appeal, if not overturned. I think the Fannie Willis case is going to blow up. I think the Georgia's legislature will handle that. Alvin Bragg that's the last viable. Jack Smith's going to have a big problem now that Joe Biden got off. I don't know how, under equality of the law statutes, he can possibly prosecute Donald Trump successfully after the exemption that was given to Biden, who was declared basically guilty, not exonerated. So what I'm getting at is Trump's challenge is Trump. It's not the lawfare anymore. It's not Joe Biden. He is the normal candidate. He is the Harding running after Wilson, return to normalcy. Every one of his positions on the border, crime, inflation, energy, foreign policy, military deterrence is the normal position. The Biden position is way out in wacky left field, and everybody knows it. I say everybody knows it because Governor Hochul is putting the National Guard in the subway. So voters of San Francisco are voting to criminalize crime again. So they understand that they got their wish and they got everything they wanted and they blew it up. And it doesn't work. People are fleeing the blue paradigm, whether at the state or city level. So Donald Trump has to do one thing. He's got to convince people who are sick of the Biden disaster. And you can say black women, Latino students, I don't know, independents, soccer moms, Biden conservative voters, what's left of the old Reagan Democrat parole voter, whoever, 7 to 8% of the electorate. He's got to convince them of a reason to vote for his agenda, even though they don't like him. In other words, you like my agenda. You have it. It was there 4 years. Now you see 4 years of Biden. You agree that Biden is a disaster and you were better off on me, but you don't like me. Okay, but I'm going to win your vote. And how does he win that vote? He doesn't live blog the Oscars and get into a, you know, you're an idiot match with Jimmy Kimmel. He doesn't call Nikki Haley bird brain. He doesn't say we don't want the big money people who gave. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to do any of that. All he has to do is go to 50 states, go into the inner city, go into the barrio, so to speak, right, if there is a barrio left, so because Latinos are being integrated at a very rapid rate. But he's got to go appeal to those people and vote for and poor whites and just stay on message. Here is my contract of America. This is what I'm going to do in the first 100 days, just like he did with the Federalist judges. Here's the 20,000 people that I'm going to appoint, da-da-da-da-da-da. And just the normal solution. Go to the San Joaquin Valley and say, I am going to stop sending water out to the ocean during a drought. I'm going to make sure you have three more reservoirs. Just stuff that unites people with common sense solution, and they will win in a landslide. But if he goes down these cul-de-sacs and he gets into verbal joust on Truth Social, he's going to squander that because he doesn't understand two things. It's not about Trump. It's about saving the country.
Right.
Joe Biden is not Bill Clinton. He's not even Barack Obama. This is something we've never seen before. This is a full-fledged revolutionary leftist socialist attempt to take over America and really destroy what we thought was America. So it's the stakes are Donald Trump is the emissary or the appointee to stop it. It's not about Donald Trump. We have no other choice but Donald Trump. And he has responsibilities to save it. Mm. And so, and that's what he has to realize. And then he has to see that people want to vote for him who don't like him. And so he's got to reach out to them. So Mike Pence the other day, did you see that? He said he wouldn't support.
Yeah.
There's two things he can do. He can do the Iowa magnanimous speech, or he can do the New Hampshire angry speech. Right. He can say, oh, Mike Pence is an idiot and a P-U-S-S-Y who didn't help me. Or he can say, I'm going to work on Mike Pence. I know Mike Pence. He did a good job as vice president. I think he's mistaken, but I've got 4 months to convince him that we have the superior agenda. That's what he has to do.
Right. You know, Victor, Donald Trump lost in 2020 for a lot of reasons, but he almost won, right? It was still a close race electorally. And I think I said this a couple of years ago, and it's not because he's my friend, but, you know, that he got into that like 3 or 4 days of tweeting about Joe Scarborough murdering his, you know,
yeah,
did he murder
that.
His? And meanwhile, we as a country at the time were in a panic about what the hell was going on with civilization collapsing, this pathogen out there. And I agree with you totally with what you're saying. The story is the woman and the man, the home that can barely put groceries on the table. We don't want you talking about going, as you said, there's some rabbit hole foolishness. Focus on the needs that we have, the deep concerns we have. And that is a path to victory. So, Victor, we have another topic or two to talk about as we get into the home stretch. And I think one of them might be, this is a Tennessee state senator calling for riots. We just talked about, is there going to be madness in the streets? So let's get your thoughts on that. But we'll do that right after these important messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show again. We are recording on Saturday, the 16th of March, and this episode is up on Tuesday, the 19th. And Victor, before I pose this matter to you, I want our listeners to know that our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. And thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force, that's the word, force doctors to perform abortions. And ADF needs your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Go to joinadf.com/Victor. That's joinadf.com/Victor to give now with your help. I've pledged to raise $5,000 by March 31st for ADF. Visit joinadf.com/Victor to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. And we thank the Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the truly great organizations on the right, for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, another headline. You ain't seen nothing yet. The Tennessee State Senator calls for riots after pro-police bill passes. This is what is it? State Senator Charlene Oliver called for riots over the passage of a pro-police bill in Tennessee. This happened on Thursday evening, saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet. It's a slap in the face. And you might as well stomp on the grave of Tyree Nichols for bringing this bill, et cetera, et cetera." Boy, oh boy, Victor.
Tyree Nichols was shot in Tennessee by five black officers, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't a white officer to be found. And I don't know. I mean, basically what she said wasn't that much different than what Kamala Harris said in summer of 2020 when they were burning and looting. And then all of a sudden she said, and these protests are not going to stop, nor should they stop. And they're going to go all the way to the election. And then all of the fact checkers, Snopes, PolitiFact, all those people got paranoid because she just laid it out. So they said, oh, you didn't mean that. That's false to say she was advocating violence. She was just talking about the people, and the protests weren't peaceful by that point. They tried to swarm the White House grounds. They had just torched the St. John's Episcopal Church. They fired up on a police precinct. They had burned down a federal courthouse or tried to. So she did the same thing. Nothing happened to her. And, you know, we just had the DEI director of John Hopkins give a whole list of the people you couldn't trust and should be shunned. And it was like 90% of the population, English speakers, mm-hmm. white people, people who have homes, people who save money. This has gone really crazy, and we know where it's going to end. And I just feel bad because I hope the black leadership can stop this, because people are getting really, and I don't mean white people, I'm talking about everybody. They're getting very ill and angry at this patently racist stuff that people are saying and doing. And if she thinks that she's going to go out and lead a big riot and it's going to be like 2020 and nobody's going to react to it, Joe Biden will react to it, and he'll have to, because he'll lose the election if he doesn't.
Right.
That's one thing that would lose him the election. One of the reasons that Israel polls about 83% of the American people in favor of what it's doing in Gaza is because people are sick and tired of the pro-Hamas shutting down of the Bay Bridge, Golden Gate, Manhattan Bridge, defacing the Lincoln Monument, storming Christmas festivities in New York. They're just sick of it. They're tired of it.
Right.
And if she thinks they're going to have a big revisit of 2020, where we turn on the TV and everybody's burning and looting, and we're supposed to feel that this is okay because of George, it's not going to happen. People are sick of it, especially during these economic times.
Right.
There's no COVID to blame. There's no lockdown to blame. And so I hope that doesn't happen. And I think the DEI has, the DEI transmogrified from its pretenses that it was going to ensure equality of opportunity, maybe equality result, into just a patently racist outfit. And almost every single day you pick up, go on any news site, liberal or conservative, and there's some crazy DEI head at Harvard, at Columbia, at John Hopkins, at Stanford, who are saying things that are just racist. And then followed by black people can't be racist.
Right.
And I think people are getting really, really, if you wanted to tribalize America rather than making us, you know, the Martin Luther King dream, that's the content of our character, and race is incidental, not essential to whom we are, you couldn't do a better job than what the DEI apparatus is doing.
Right.
And I don't understand the logic.
The aforementioned College Fix, Victor, is a great place to go for that cataloging of one example after another of this madness. Like Davidson College is the latest of DEI forcing student athletes, to watch videos saying why whites are racist and why blacks can never be racist. And you're like, isn't this place supposed to be for education and not this indoctrination? But madness. Hey, one last story.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I work at a university. I think we're near our third year where whites, who make up about 67% of the population, are getting into Stanford at 20 to 21%. And with the heavy preponderance of women, it's white, right. White males, as I keep saying, are about 9%. You get rid of the SAT, you have disenfranchised thousands of straight-A, perfect SAT, poor white Midwestern applicants. And you basically said the only white males, about 180 of them out of 2,000 every year that go to Stanford, are going to be athletes, the children of billionaire Silicon Valley grandees, or the children of the president, the board of trustees, or a dean or a provost. That's just a fact. There's not enough slots. And when you have, as I said, 67% and you are going down to 20, it's just patently racist. It is. And I don't think it's going to be sustainable. I really don't. I mean, it's good for the Hoover Institution because a lot of parents who are left wing see now that it is. And their children had all qualified according to Stanford's own prior standards of admissions. And they're very loyal to the idea of Stanford, but not the concrete manifestation of it today. And they're starting to give to the Hoover Institution is something that is antithetical to what Stanford's become.
Right. Right. Well, we're here on recording on the eve of St. Patrick's, where the old expression, the Irish need not apply. And I think we, that could be turned today high school senior. Yeah, white need not apply to Stanford. Hey, Victor, one last headline before we head off. This has to, it plays into everything we've discussed, particularly the economy. Talked about food prices. Of course, everyone's still aghast by gasoline prices. And we all know what the Biden administration has done to hurt the energy industry in the United States. But I don't know if people have heard this news yet about how their tax dollars are being used to help the oil industry in other nations. Headline, this is from the Daily Caller. Biden admin hands out $500 million for oil drilling in the Middle East. The U.S. Export-Import Bank, a nominally independent government entity that aims to boost the American economy by facilitating the export of U.S. goods and services, I'm reading from the Daily Caller article, approved a $500 million loan guarantee for oil and gas development in Bahrain on Thursday, according to Bloomberg.
Yeah, they've been doing that. They've been doing it a lot. Remember, right before the 2022 midterm, they not only drained the strategic petroleum reserve to get the price of gas down, but they had gone the year before on a big pump tour where they asked Venezuela, Iran, Saudi Arabia. After we had insulted Saudi Arabia, when Biden said, they're pretty awful. That was his theme in that campaign. And then even Russia before the Ukraine invasion. The idea was, we have a problem here in the United States, you guys. You see, we're pledged to getting rid of stinky, dirty fossil fuels. So we're cutting back on federal leases and offshore drilling because we don't believe in this goo. But we need this goo to get elected again. So we're going to drain the goo that Trump stockpiled. And then we want you guys who are stinky, dirty people to pump stinky, dirty goo so we can use it. Got it? That's the message. And it's not a very good message to our allies to say, yeah, we're supposed to pump, but you won't. And now, all of a sudden, that wasn't enough. So if you look at the actual daily production of gas and oil, it is phenomenal, Jack. It's gone up by about from 2.5 years ago, and they don't talk about it. But they're at Trump levels right now. Maybe they're ahead of it, this administration. They're telling drillers and frackers, pump, 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 pump. They're telling people overseas, pump, pump, pump. We want more of the dirty, sticky goo. You got to get gas prices down before the November election. That's what they're doing. The irony of all this is, I've been to the Middle East. I think I've been, to every major oil exporting country except Iran. And I can guarantee you, whether you look at the refineries at the shore or the wells, the United States can produce oil and natural gas more safely, more ecologically sound, and with less imprint on the environment than any other country, especially the Russians. So if you believe in planet or spaceship Earth, that we're all in this, stuck on this planet, then you would want the United States to produce more of its own oil because it would have less damage to the environment. We have a lot more regulations. We're a lot more experienced at it. Why you would say, you know what, we're not going to do it here, but we want you guys who are sloppy and don't have the resources to do it over, I don't understand. But that's another thing I don't understand about this. This administration is very mysterious. It's almost surreal. It's lunatic. The idea of 8 million people swarming the border, or, this idea of these Soros prosecutors letting people out, and knock people out or shoot or arresting somebody like Penny on, it just doesn't make sense. And this is another indication of it.
Well, Victor, a few last bits of business for today's program. First of all, I'd like to recommend, especially to our new listeners, and I know we have a lot of new listeners, that they visit your website, The Blade of Perseus. That's victorhanson.com is the address. And when you go there, folks, There'll be links to Victor's weekly essay in American Greatness, his weekly syndicated column, archives to these podcasts, Victor's links to his other appearances, links to his forthcoming book. It'll be out May 7th, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. And you'll also find ultra articles, and those are two or three a week that Victor writes. They're exclusive to The Blade of Perseus, and you have to subscribe in order to be able to read them. And if you're a fan of Victor, you'll want to read them. There's on an annual basis, it's about two books worth of exclusive content. So it's $5 to get in the door, and a full year subscription is discounted to $50. Go sign up at victorhanson.com. I write Civil Thoughts. I'm Jack Fowler. I write Civil Thoughts for the Center for Civil Society at AMFIL, where we are trying to strengthen civil society. And Civil Thoughts is a free weekly email newsletter that offers 14 recommended readings of pieces, essays that I've come across the previous week and I think are excellent or worth your reading. I've given an excerpt and a link to the piece. So sign up for it. Go to civilthoughts.com. It's totally free. We're not selling your name or engaging in any kind of transactional stuff with your information. So, and thanks for those who have signed up and who do like it. Three last things, Victor. One is my old colleague, Stephanie at National Review, let me know the other day how much she loves the podcast and your wisdom. So I just want to mention that.
That's nice. Thank you.
Oh, she's terrific. And then I was at the Irish Club the other day here in Milford, Connecticut. I was at the bar. I don't know. Maybe I was asking for a glass of water or something. And a guy comes up to me and he says, are you Jack? I said, yeah. When I came in, I saw some guy I knew. I said, hey, how you doing, John? He said, Jack. So I think he was with that guy. And he must have said, who's that? He said, Jack Fowler. So anyway, the guy came up to me at the bar. Are you Jack? Yeah. Jack Fowler? I'm like, yeah. Do you do a podcast? I said, yeah. Is it with Victor Davis Hanson? I was like, yeah. He says, I love it. I was just listening to it on the ride over here. Do you really know Victor? And I'm not mocking. His name is
All
Brian.
Too well.
Well, I do all too well. Yeah. We've been together in a lot of situations. But Victor, there's just, and that's happened to me now several times recently. So there's just a real love for the wisdom you're sharing. And you just have to know how much you mean to people.
I wish I could tell my colleagues that.
Well, I think your colleagues know the power of VDH and probably shake to think they might ever get on your wrong side. Not that there's a wrong side of Victor. So anyway, I just want to thank Brian for coming up and sharing
that's
that.
That's nice.
And one last thing, we do read our reviews or comments that people leave on your website, Victor, after the articles or podcasts and on iTunes, Apple, and where people can rate the show 0 to 5 stars. And here's one from your website, Victor. It's by Richard Michaels, who lives in Sequim, Washington. I've never said that before, Sequim, but I think it's Washington State. BDH, I found your stories regarding your encounters with the illegal aliens on your property in Fresno Valley to be quite moving. You have a way of relaying details in such a way as to invoke a visceral response from me. I'm at an age when I find it so sad when I reflect on the state of our great country today as compared to when I was a child and my parents' generation. Keep up the good work, Richard Michaels. Thank you, Richard.
I was jogging today with early in the morning, and there's a huge refrigerator that has appeared in the middle of an almond row. But it's not like a refrigerator. It's kind of like those old freezers that are industrial. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, it must weigh 800 pounds. And it's just sitting out there in the middle of the row. And
I hope there's not a body in it.
I don't know. I haven't gone close to it. But that is something that meets me almost every day. When I was a little boy on the bank of the pond, there were all these beautiful willows we used to hide in the trees. And I was going by there today and I looked in the willows and almost it looks like, you remember that scene, Wild West scene down by the L.A. train yard where they were looting everything and Gavin went down with his Abercrombie and Fish out outfit and picked up. Well, that's what it, every little, there was plastic toys. There's just car seats. There's like a lot of Spanish newspapers. It's just junk.
It's a breakdown it's really of civil society.
Yeah. I mean, when I was farming, the idea, we called them Mount Trashmores. If you let Mount Trashmore grow, then they'll come.
Oh, absolutely. Litter breeds litter. Right?
Yeah. So we would try to get rid of Mount Trashmore very quickly. But this property, our families, you know, during the big shakeoff, we lost. So it abuts mine and I can't do anything about it. But man, there's trash there every day. I think the last time I encountered somebody, a guy was driving there with, I looked in the back seat and he had like 6 bags of trash. And I said, are you lost? Well, it was broken English, but he said he was looking for a bicycle to buy out in the middle. And I said, I don't think you're going to buy. There's not a lot of bicycle shops out here, but there's a lot of empty spaces where you can throw all your trash. He didn't like that. Okay.
Well, Victor, you've been terrific. Thanks,
everybody.
You shared today. We'll be back soon, folks, with another episode of the Victor Davis Hanson Show.